Father, our heart's desire is to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. I pray, Father, today that as we spend a few minutes in your word, Lord, that you would quicken us, help us to know and understand your word in an ever-increasing fashion, your heart, Lord, and your purpose and plan for us. Might our hearts be soft, might our minds be sharp, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One other thing I want to mention that I did not mention earlier, and that is we are going to have a church-wide time of prayer and fasting, which will begin on Sunday evening, the 21st, next Sunday, and will continue through Wednesday evening. Before church, we will share a meal to break the fast. And so if you're able to take part in that, I would encourage you to do it. The Lord has always done some really amazing things through that time. We'll be here each evening from 6 to 7, praying, beginning on Sunday evening. And it'll be simply a time of prayer, nothing else. So if you can join us downstairs, we encourage you to do that. And if you're not able to join, then pray from a distance. All the prayers are important. So please grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. One of the things that we know is that our lives are filled with choices. Every day we're confronted with many choices, some small seemingly and some larger. And we have to decide what is right and what is wrong for our lives in those things as we decide. We have to decide who we're going to serve each day. As we wake up as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to choose whether or not we're going to serve him in any given day and set our path accordingly. Joshua would challenge the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And so I hope that is our hearts as well. Choices. And really, as you walk through the book of Proverbs, it's filled with those kinds of decisions, choices between the flesh and the spirit, choices between good and evil, choices between diligence and laziness, and choices between being a good steward and a poor steward. Here in chapter 17, Solomon is beginning with his focus upon our home, our choices. We read, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts." Our homes should be a dwelling place of affection. It should be a refuge for our families. And we need to realize that we can either be wrestling with the things of God and how those play out in our lives, or resting in the things of God and allowing him to guide and direct our steps so that we might be what he created us to be as husbands, as wives, as sons and daughters. The Lord has a purpose and a plan for all of us, and he's unfolding that plan. We need to understand, even as we heard earlier in our time together, who we are in Jesus. As we understand who we are in Jesus, it leads to humility, and it changes the tone of our homes. If it's not all about me, all of a sudden it changes things. As I realize it's not about me, but it's about those around me. And the Lord's working in our families, and I'm so thankful for that. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray over your families every day. Husbands, wives, sons and daughters, praying for one another. Because you see, it is the home where we're purified, where we're guided and directed. He likens it in verse 3 to a fining pot or a refining pot for silver. And the Lord tries the hearts. It is in the home where we begin to learn and understand our purpose and God's purpose for us. And it can be a challenging work. It's a refining work. And we're encouraging one another in those things. So many times I find that the kids can encourage the adults with the things that they share. And I so appreciate that. We need to be willing to listen to what our kids have to say. Take time to listen to them. Because he says there in verse 4, a wicked doer gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So we see that the Lord would have us to not listen to wickedness, to not listen to evil things. Strife and contention are the result of listening to the wrong message. And that's why it's important for us to be in God's word. We need to be honest before the Lord and lay out before him those things that are going on in our lives. He's not surprised, but it sets us free from those things. Sometimes, guys, listen, sometimes we choose to be bad just because we can. We can choose to be mean just because we can. But that's just the flesh working out in our lives. If we're being guided by the Spirit, that's not going to happen. The Bible calls that being stiff-necked. In other words, opposing the things of Christ rather than listening to what he has to say. Parents and children should be mutually blessed in the family. We need to learn from one another, and we need to grow together. We need to serve one another. And as you think about that, just think about even this morning. Was there any stress in the family as you're trying to share the bathroom or get ready to go or whatever it happens to be? We put on the happy face when we come to church, but in between the house and the church, there's sometimes stress going on. And we need to know and realize that we're not alone. It happens in every family. But the key is to begin to work towards a family that is a refuge, that is indeed a dwelling place of affections. That's the difference between a house and a home. A house is a dwelling place of animals. We house animals in a house. But in a home, we have families that live together in love and appreciation for one another. In verse 7, we read, excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Excellent speech. I would call that the language of the Spirit. Spirit-controlled speech. James would say to us that if we are complete in Christ, that we will be able to control our tongue. We will be able to guide and direct our tongue. We can use it for blessing and not cursing. Is your tongue spirit controlled? Are we seeking the fullness of the Spirit in our lives? We sang it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. That's why we want to seek after the richness of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We should be experiencing that in an ever-increasing fashion. He says there in verse 8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that has it. Whithersoever it turns, it prospers. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. Words can either cement a relationship or they can separate it. We've seen it both in our lives. How are we doing in our families? Are we seeking to build one another up? Are we seeking reconciliation? Are we seeking forgiveness? Are we willing to humble ourselves, become the under rower, if you will, to see that relationship restored? Barnabas was one who spoke to bring people together. In the book of Acts, you remember Saul was persecuting the church, and he had a meeting on the road to Damascus with the Lord. It totally changed his life, of course. But after he came to know the Lord, he wanted to minister, and the people around weren't so sure they wanted to trust him, that maybe it was just a trick. He was just trying to get in so he could see them taken to jail and killed. But in Acts chapter 9, we read, when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. I love that. That's a man of faith, willing to take the risk. Some of you do that, stopping people on the streets and that you don't know at all, and talking with them and praying with them, or wherever it happens to be that the Lord brings someone across your path, or someone that you'll reach out to and provide a meal. You know, those are all acts of kindness. Those are all things that please the Lord. Those are the things that should be happening in our lives as we're speaking the language of Jesus. In verse 10, we read, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You know, when I read that verse, it challenged me, because there are times that I don't necessarily like being exhorted. That can be hard when people come and they share with you something they see or something they believe about your life. How do I respond to exhortation? How I respond to exhortation reflects my spiritual condition. You see, I had a brother years ago who was a worship leader, and if you've ever done worship leading, or if you've taught or anything like that in ministry, there are always going to be those who have an exhortation for you. And he told me, he said, you know, sometimes people will come and he says, you know, I finally have learned that what I need to do is I just need to receive what they say. I need to take it away. I need to pray over it. And I need to embrace that which is true. And I need to reject that which is false before the Lord. And I thought, that's such great counsel. But it begins with a willingness to listen. None of us are beyond exhortation. We all need exhortation from time to time. Now, exhortation is that which can be confronting, but it also can build up. We can build others up by exhorting them, by letting them know that God's pleased with the work that they're doing, by letting them know that people are seeing a change in their lives or what's going on in their lives. And it becomes an encouragement to them, because you see, oversensitivity interrupts what God wants to do in my life. If I'm not willing to pay attention, then it short circuits what God is doing. He'll bring another exhortation along, you know, and he keeps doing that, you know, in our lives, because he knows that's what we need. And he brings us to that point where we're willing to listen. Okay, Lord, I get it. Because it's so easy for us to begin to think it's all about us. One of the greatest things that we can do as a body, as servants of the Lord, is realize that the ministries that are being undertaken are not our ministries. It's not my ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. We just happen to be instruments in his hands. And he could use someone else in a moment. But by his grace, he's allowed us to serve him. When we begin to think of it as our ministry, when we begin to be threatened, when others want to come in and participate, to help, to share, we need to step back and we need to reevaluate. We need to be willing to lay it down on the altar and say, Lord, this isn't my ministry. I'm doing it because I believe you've called me to do it. But if someone can do it better, Lord, may that be so. We need to be willing to pray that prayer. In verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. We see there the principle of sowing and reaping. We could spend a day just sitting around in a circle I'm sure, talking about that in our lives, both on the positive side and on the negative side. The principle of sowing and reaping is a principle that's immovable, unchangeable, and ever-present. There are many of us who stand in or sit in this room today that could say, I am reaping the results of decisions that were made 1, 2, 3, 4 decades ago, and they ring forward. And then that can be both in both blessing and in the curse. But praise God, he restores the years that the locusts have eaten. But we have to choose. We have to choose to replant the field, if you will. Years ago, in our place, our next door neighbor, who's now gone to be with the Lord, had a field which was essentially just hay, unimproved pasture, more or less. And he went down and he began to plow the field to rip it up, to remove some of the rocks, to level it out. And then he planted alfalfa. And of course, as you begin to water the alfalfa, it begins to grow. And all of a sudden, that which was just kind of yellow pasture all of a sudden becomes this lush green alfalfa. It was really pretty. And it brought forth great reward at the end of when harvest was done, much more so than what had been there, had been possible before he did that work. We need to choose to replow the field, to plant that which is beneficial to the Lord, to his ways, to his work. We can choose to plant a good crop, or we can choose to plant a bad crop. What are we going to do? It's our choice, you see. In verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it is meddled with. Have you noticed that argument and strife between people accelerates the longer it goes? Gets more intense, gets louder. If you've ever been observed somebody that's in some sort of an argument, or perhaps even you've been in that kind of an argument with someone. The writer of Proverbs would tell us that we need to cut it off before it even gets started, because both parties come out losers. And that's not what the Lord would have. We need to choose to be peacemakers. When someone's coming at me, I need to pray. That's an arrow prayer, man. Like Peter, save me. Lord, give me the strength not to respond in kind. Help me to have Jesus' heart. Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, people notice when you respond as Jesus responded. It blows them away. They don't understand it. How is that possible? Why didn't you defend yourself? Why didn't you come out swinging, if you will? But that gives us another opportunity to say, it isn't me, that's for sure. Because in my flesh, man, someone's going to have a red nose. But the Lord would not have that for us. We need to be those who are peacemakers. Verse 15, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. That is an upside down approach to life. And I'll tell you what, right now in our world, there are a lot of people that are an abomination to the Lord because they're calling evil good and they're calling good evil. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, that's what's going on in our world right now. And that's why, guys, listen, that's why we need to be in the Word of God, so that we don't become deceived, so that we don't become in that place where we are calling evil good and good evil. There is no compromise with the world. We can't compromise with the world to bring them to Christ. That's not what they need. They need the true, pure, unadulterated gospel that all have sinned, use that word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, as good as you might think you are, We've all committed sin. And we need to pray that the Lord will help us to see with an upright perspective. Lord, we need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding. We need discernment, Father. All of those things found in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. Another worthy prayer, by the way. Pray daily. Lord, I ask that you will give me wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and discernment, Lord. Help me to see. Help me to hear. Help me to understand, Father. Help me not to miss what you have for me in this situation. Help me to grow through it. In verse 16, he goes on, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart for it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In these verses, we see choices about relationships. The fool, it says, might have the resources to gain wisdom, but they have no desire for it. They don't want to understand. They want to continue doing what they're doing because it's easier to do the old stuff rather than to make the change necessary to gain the wisdom that will change their life for the better. It's like doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result. Not going to happen. We have to do it differently. We have to do it the Lord's way, which is always about 180 degrees out of sync with the world's way. Help us, Lord. Help us then to choose right relationships. I love that. A true friend. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, I am so thankful for those true friends. It's a wonderful possession. A wonderful possession. For those of us who are married, we need to see our mate as that, a true friend. Someone that we can count on, someone that we can care for, and that they know they can count on us. Wonderful picture of that relationship is the relationship between Jonathan and David. Love that relationship. Because you see, David really was the competitor of Jonathan for the throne. But God had a plan. And it tells us that when they came together, it says the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I mean, they loved each other with an amazing love to the point where Jonathan said it toward the end. He said, you know what, David, I know you're going to be king and I'm going to be at your side. I'm going to be doing the work of ministry beside you, David. I don't want to be king because you're supposed to be king. That's the heart of a true friend. We need to develop those kinds of relationships with one another. Allow the Lord to knit our hearts together, to lay aside those things that perhaps separate us and allow the Lord to do a work of restoration. The confidence is to know that that friend will be there when the time is right. I remember years ago, there's another scripture that says that, you know, a friend is closer than a brother. And I remember years ago, I was in Roseburg working, and I get a phone call, and my dad had had a heart attack, and he was either in the hospital or on the way to the hospital. So, of course, I left work and headed down there, but by the time I got down there, he was gone. And that was really hard, but what I did was I did it. Go back to my family here in town. I went to a cousin who was a believer in Jesus there in Grants Pass and spent time with him. The Lord had provided him to be my encouragement, my counselor. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's the way the Lord works. People tend to find others of like mind. And I knew that we were like-minded and therefore I could spend time with him. So thankful for that. Verse 18, a man void of understanding strikes hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. He loves transgression, that loves strife. And he that exalts his gate seeks destruction. He that has a froward heart finds no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falls into mischief. Have you ever noticed that words precede deeds. It's pretty hard to do a deed without speaking the word. You have to speak first before the deed is undertaken. That's what the Lord would tell us here. The polluted heart poisons the things around it, where all we can begin to see is evil and bad. That's why it says that we need to hide God's word in our hearts, because it transforms us. It changes us how we think. It changes how we speak. And we need to embrace that and understand it. We need to make sure that we don't have a froward heart or a perverse tongue. And the perverse tongue follows a froward heart. Because what's going on in my heart most certainly is going to come out over my lips. We need to trust the Lord to transform us. He that begets a fool does it to his sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no joy. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. We found that to be true, haven't we? A merry heart works good like a medicine. Solomon links joy and health. We read and have quoted many times the scripture, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Father, help my joy to be full today. Help me to look beyond the circumstances, the pain of life, the physical pain, whatever's going on, the spiritual hardship. Lord, help me to look beyond that and see the one who is behind all of that, who will use it for his glory and my good. Help me to understand, Lord, that I have much to be joyful about. Joy, guys, is the work of God in the obedient heart. Lord, there are times that I don't want to do what you tell me to do. But Lord, I'm going to do it because I know that's what's best. You ever told God no? Sometimes we can tell God no. But he's patient. And he works in our lives, and he brings circumstances and people to play that bring us to that place where we finally submit ourselves to him. And when we do that, the amazing freedom that we experience, the refreshment that happens, the fullness of the spirit that occurs is just inexplicable. It's supernatural. If you find yourself today wandering in the weeds, turn it over to Jesus. Give it to him. Ask him to come and renew and restore. I know some of you have experienced that in powerful ways, and I'm so thankful for that testimony. It's not too late. It's never too late until we draw our last breath. Cry out to him. Verse 23, a wicked man takes a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. That's a powerful verse. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. The godly man or woman keeps in focus that which is before them. They're not always looking out on the horizon. The fool is always distracted. Somebody called it once the flashing light. You know, you're on the ocean, you're in your boat, you're focused on the lighthouse, you know your direction, you're going there, you're solid. And then all of a sudden, off on the horizon, there's a flashing light. And it's easy to get distracted and get pulled off to that flashing light. The wisdom of God's people would say, no, I'm not going to get distracted by that. I'm going to stay focused on the lighthouse because I know there's my safety. Foolishness has its own grief. The understanding that comes with wisdom, the idea of discernment or perception, that comes when I'm walking in fellowship with Jesus. When I'm here and I'm saying, Lord, take my hand. I want to walk with you today. I want to experience a sweet fellowship with you. And he takes our hand and he ministers to us in such special ways as we begin to understand the depth of his love for us. We can't undo our past, but we can let it go. And we can use it for his glory. You can't undo what you've done. I can't undo. As much as I'd like to undo some things that I've done or said, I know that I can't. But I know that my God is bigger. Your God is bigger. And he'll give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. He goes on there. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. I love that. Wise conversation is important. I don't need to always be talking. Sometimes we think we need to be talking. Silence is uncomfortable. You ever noticed that? Silence is very uncomfortable. And we sometimes think we need to fill the void. But sometimes we just need to be still. We need to be still before him. And understand that he will use us as we wait on him. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Isaiah was that. He was a man of excellent understanding and of a good spirit. And when the Lord, he saw the Lord and he heard them talking, and he said, "Lord, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." And the Lord acknowledged that by sending an angel with a coal to cleanse his lips that he might speak, become the spokesman for the God of heaven. We acknowledge that we're men and women of unclean lips. There's stuff that comes out of our mouth that we need someone to bring some soap. I don't know if you ever had that happen when you were a kid, but we need to be willing to allow the Lord to put his coal upon our lips, that the words that we speak are his words. His words. As we close in verse 28, it says, "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." I love that. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And somebody might think, you can't afford it. You can't afford it. I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah 30. He says, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In returning and rest, you'll be saved." You see, we need to hold our tongue sometimes and be considered wise and perceptive. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. I read a quote. I won't get it exactly right, but he said, "You know, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Abraham Lincoln. So a wise man. But it gets back to choices. And the song that we sang as we close, there's joy in the Lord. There's love in his spirit. You see, we need to have the joy of the Lord be our strength today. I hope you'll join with me in asking the Lord to restore our joy, to set us free from the stuff that's bound us up, that we can pass it off, get rid of it. It only causes pain. As we do that, we'll experience his joy once again, and we'll become ever more fruitful in the kingdom work. But it's a choice every day. Let's choose wisely. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Lord, we thank you for the pen of Solomon, Lord, which wrote down this wisdom, Father, that we might benefit from it. Lord, today I pray that as we sit here in this place, as we begin to consider, Father, what you would do in our lives, I pray that our hearts would be soft and responsive. Might we be willing, Lord, to be exhorted by your Spirit and perhaps by another person. I don't know, Lord. But help us to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. Help us to let our words be few as we stand in awe of you, Lord. And help us to speak when you direct. And might they be the words of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing these times together with those who love you. What a privilege that is. I pray you would bind us together as one, Lord, and that we would become a powerful force in kingdom life as we go out and minister the truth of the gospel, as we love people, as we reflect the reality of Jesus. And I pray today that you would find peace, strength, and hope at the foot of the cross. Might you realize that God has a perfect plan for you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.